In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen.
Through the grace of God, we will study tonight chapter 14 from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. In this chapter, St. Paul describes how the relationship between the strong and weak should be. In the Church of God, we have people who are strong in their faith, more established and more educated in the Christian knowledge. But we have people who are weak. Weak means they are less established, and also their Christian knowledge may be limited. So, how the relationship between the strong and the weak should be? St. Paul admonished the strong not to judge the weak, or not to offend the weak, not to put a stumbling block before the weak. So, the strong should be careful in their dealings with the weak. And also, the weak should not judge the strong. So, the strong should be careful, should be sensitive to the weakness of these people who are not strong, and the weak people should not judge the strong. And each person in the Church of God should do whatever they do for the glory of God, for the service of the Lord. And in the Church of God, there is no place to judge one another, because God is the true judge. And all of us, we will stand before God in the last day to be judged by Him. That's why it is very, very important not to put a stumbling block before the weak brother. And after St. Paul spoke about the law of liberty, how in Christ we are free, and we are free to do what we want to do in Christ. But St. Paul, after he spoke about the law of liberty, he spoke about the law of love. The law of love. What is the law of love? We should not encourage the weak brother to violate his own conscience and to do something that his conscience does not approve. Because this is like a stumbling block before the weak brother. So the strong person should be willing to give up his personal liberties in order not to offend the weak brother, but rather to build him, to edify him, and to establish him in his faith. This is actually the summary of chapter 14. But we will go over it verse by verse. Start from verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. As we defined, the weak in faith is the person who is not firmly established or fully instructed in the Christian knowledge. The person who is not firmly established or not fully instructed in the Christian knowledge. St. Paul instructs us to receive him. Receive him means what? To accept him, to take him into our fellowship, to take him into our assemblies. But when we receive him in our fellowship, in our meeting, in our assembly, not to disputes over doubtful things. Because when we dispute with him, we may offend him. And usually, there are issues that are concern for people, and they have different opinion over these issues. Usually, there are many, many issues, and St. Paul gave us two examples in chapter 14, that people have different opinion, and both opinions can be accepted. That's why St. Paul said, when you receive the person who is weak in faith, not to disputes over doubtful things. In other words, disputes over doubtful things or doubtful questions must not be in the way of Christian fellowship. Unfortunately, many, many times when we assemble together or when we have meeting together, we like to discuss the doubtful things, the things that are gray. And we maybe we start to conflict with one another or to have conflict with one another over these doubtful things. But St. Paul said, no, this will not edify. You should not dispute over doubtful things. And St. Paul gives us an example in verse 2. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. At that time, there was a dispute over food. Differences occurred about food, especially the food offered to the idols. Some people said, we cannot eat the food offered to the idol or the meat, the sacrifices that are offered to the idols. And others said, no, I don't believe in idol worshiping, so I can eat this food, nothing wrong with it. Also, another dispute, should Christian eat like meat in general or not?
Some people actually condemned eating meat. And they said, we should not eat meat. When God created Adam and placed him in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, Adam did not eat meat in the Garden of Eden. That's why we should not eat meat in order to return back to the state of Adam, or of Garden of Eden. And they taught that the transformed Christian should not eat meat in order to be like the Garden of Eden. That's why he said, the weak eats only vegetables. Why St. Paul considered those are weak? Those who eat only vegetables. Maybe we perceive them as more acidic. But St. Paul said they are weak because they are lacking in knowledge. God said to St. Peter, when St. Peter saw the vision, this blanket that had all different kinds of food, God said to Peter, kill and eat. So I cannot say eating meat is wrong. But St. Paul said, he is lacking in knowledge. That's why he eats only vegetable. One believes he may eat all things, and the other person believes that he should eat only vegetable. Maybe some of you will ask, what about fasting? In fasting, we don't eat meat. Does this mean we are lacking in knowledge or we are weak? There is difference between fasting and between the person who is weak in faith. This person does not eat meat at all because he believes that eating meat is against God's will. But in fasting, we don't say eating meat is wrong or is sin. But we discipline our body, as St. Paul said, I discipline my body and bring it in subjection. And after the fasting is over, we eat all kinds of food. So St. Paul in verse 3 said, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. So if you have a strong faith and you eat all kinds of food, do not despise, do not dishonor your brother who is weak and he does not eat everything. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. And also those who are weak, they should not judge those who are strong and saying how they eat meat, this is sinful. So the weak should not condemn as guilty of sinful practice. The weak should not condemn the strong as guilty of sinful practices. And the strong should not look with contempt, with dishonor, on what he considers the weakness of the brother or the other person. And St. Paul say, why? Why the weak should not judge the strong, and the strong should not despise the weak? Why? He said, for God has received him. And him refers to both. God received the strong into his church, and God received the weak into his church. So if God received the both in the church, then we should not condemn one another. The strong should not dishonor the weak, and the weak should not judge the strong. Verse 4, who are you to judge another's servant? St. Paul is reminding us that since God has received us, then we are the servants of God. And if we are the servants of God, our accountability is to God, not to one another. I cannot judge you because you are the servant of God. And you cannot judge me because I am the servant of God. God is the judge. We cannot judge one another. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. So, in spite of what some of you think it is an honor, he shall stand. He shall stand in the grace of God, for God is able to keep him. So this person whom you are judging as sinful or as weak, God actually will do his best. God will try every single way with this person to make him stand. Because it is the will of God that no one will perish. So St. Paul saying, to his own master he stands or falls. If I commit a sin, or if I do not commit a sin, God will hold me accountable. God is the judge. So, I am sinning or standing to God, not to you. But God will be able to make me stand. That's why he gave me his grace to establish me. Because God's desire not to let anybody perish or fall. Verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. St. Paul is giving us another example of doubtful things. The first example was food. There were disputes over should we eat meat or we should not. Another dispute between the days, especially in Christianity in the early century, during the time of St. Paul in the first century, we had many converts from Judaism. So those converted Jews wanted to keep the Jewish feasts and wanted to keep the days like the Sabbath and like the new moon and consider this as holy days. So St. Paul said, let each one act as he thinks right. Let each one act as he thinks right. If you want to observe one day above another, or if you esteem every day alike, and you say all the days are belonging to the Lord, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. But St. Paul is not speaking about what the Bible teaches as right and wrong. When the Bible clearly teaches this is right and this is wrong, then the Bible has authority. But there are some other things that can be right or wrong. And some people will perceive it as right, some people will perceive it as wrong. So St. Paul is speaking about these issues. And he is saying, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Let each act as he thinks it is right. Verse 6. He who observes the day observes it for to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. So he's saying, try to understand the intention of everybody. If I am observing a certain day, why I am observing a certain day and I consider this day as a holy day? I'm doing this for the Lord. And if I'm not observing a certain day, but I'm observing all the days as holy, why I'm doing this? Also, I'm doing it for the Lord. So whether I'm observing a single day or I'm observing all the days as holy, both of us are doing it to the Lord. The same, he who eats, eats to the Lord. If I eat all kinds of food, why I'm eating all kinds of food? Because I believe that God allowed me to eat all kinds of food. And he who does not eat, he does not eat because he wants to return me back to the status of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So he who eats, eats and gives thanks to God. And he who does not eat also doesn't eat to the Lord, because that's what his conscience is telling him. He does not eat and also give God thanks. Verse 6 again, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives
God thanks. So, if I think that I should observe a certain day, I should do as my conscience telling me. And if I think that I should not observe a certain day, I should not observe a certain day, but I observe all the days as holy to the Lord. And those who eat or observe certain day, they are doing this because they believe it is God's will. And those who do not eat or do not observe certain days, they do thus because they believe that it is the will of God not to eat certain food and also not to observe a certain day. So both are doing it for God. Verse 7. For none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. Saint Paul is establishing a very important principle for Christian. Once you received Christ and believed in Christ and you are baptized, then your life does not belong to you. Your life belongs to Christ. So, no Christian should live to please himself, but the Christian should live to please God.
None of us lives to himself. Lives to himself means to please himself. And no one dies to himself. Even when we die to the Lord. When we die to the Lord.
Many people die for wars, for example, or for certain earthly principles, to defend certain earthly principles. But the Christian, when they choose to die, they die to the Lord. And verse 8, he is emphasizing the same principle. For if we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. The day in which we are baptized, in this day, I died. And as St. Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So if I live to the Lord. And if I die to the Lord. Whether I live or I die, I am the Lord's. I am belonging to the Lord. Verse 9. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. To this end means why Christ died and rose and lived again. Why Christ did this? In order to give us his life. So when we live for him. Christ died on our behalf because we were under the sentence of death. Then he rose to conquer death. Then he lived in order to give us his life. And we accept the life of Christ when we are baptized, because in baptism we die with him and we rise again with him. So to this end, in order to give us the life of Christ, Christ himself died, rose again, rose and lived again. Why? That he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Which means our new life after baptism springs from the death and resurrection of Christ. And since our life comes from him, from Christ, and springs from his death and resurrection, this makes
him our Lord, whether we be living or dead. He is our Lord. He is the Lord of living and dead. Because when we die, we will be with him in paradise. And he is our Lord. And here on earth, he is also our Lord because he died and gave us his life. So God, Christ, is the Lord of both the living and the dead. Verse 10. St. Paul returns back to the issue of judging. After he explained that the Lord, Christ, is the Lord of living and dead, this means he is the judge. That's why he said, if you understand that Christ is the Lord of the living and dead, why you judge your brother? Verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Do you think that you are his Lord? Why you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. All of us, we will stand before the judgment seat of God. So if we know that the strong and the weak will stand before the judgment seat of God, we should not judge one another. We should not show contempt for one another. Simply, St. Paul is saying, you are not the judge. Christ is, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. St. Paul is quoting now from the book of Isaiah in order to make his case. He said, for it is written. Written where? Written in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23. What's written in Isaiah? As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So Isaiah said that every knee, the knee of the strong and the knee of the weak, will bow to God. Declare God, declare the supremacy of God. God is the judge. Every knee will bow to him. And every tongue shall confess to God. Every tongue will confess that God is the judge of the world. So, God's sovereignty is prophesied by Isaiah. And God's sovereignty gave God the right to call every person to account, give him the right to be the judge of all people, whether the living or the dead. So we should not actually judge one another, because in other words, we are taking the place of God. We should leave the judgment to God. I remember a story in the paradise of Pharaoh,
that a monk judged his brother. So he saw in a vision an angel telling him, God is asking you, do you want me to send him, your brother, to heaven or to hell? And God actually was rebuking this monk because he allowed himself to take the place of God in judging his brother. That's why the angel told him, God is asking you, where do you want me to send him? So St. Paul said in verse 12, if we understand the sovereignty of God, if we understand that he is the judge, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. We will give account to God, not to one another. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. We should not judge one another anymore. But rather resolve this. Instead of judging one another, now St. Paul is switching into the law of love. Instead of judging one another, let us resolve this. Let us watch this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way.
We should be careful, lest we make our brother stumble or fall in his way.
stumbling block is anything which might cause my brother to fall.
After St. Paul spoke about your right to do what you believe it is right, only in the things that are not clear, there are doubts and doubtful things, as he started the chapter in verse 1, to disputes over doubtful things. So I cannot apply this on any other commandment. For example, I cannot apply this chapter on homosexuality. I cannot say this person believes in homosexuality and this person does not believe in it, so we should accept this because he believes it's right. No. As long as the Bible is clear about the commandment of God, whether it is right or wrong, then it is right or wrong. But St. Paul, all this chapter is about the doubtful things, as he said in verse 1, to disputes over doubtful things, things that are not clear. It can be right to some people and it can be wrong to some people. From verse 1 to 13, St. Paul said, if you believe it is right to do it, do it. And the weak person should not judge you. And if you believe it is wrong, then don't do it. And the strong person should not dishonor you or despise you for not doing them. So that's why what we call it the law of liberty. You are free in Christ to do as convinced by your own mind. As he said in verse 5, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. But then from verse 14, after St. Paul said, it is your right if you are strong, from verse 14, he's addressing more the strong rather than the weak. From verse 1 to 13, he was addressing both the strong and the weak. But from verse 14, he is addressing more the strong. He's telling to the strong, yes, it is your right to do what you believe it is right. But be careful. Because maybe when you are doing what you believe it is right, this will cause your brother to fall or to stumble. Then now you need to apply the law of love, not the law of liberty. Which means you abstain from doing what you believe it is right, not in order not to offend your brother. That is the law of love. So in love, actually, as if I am enslaving myself to my brother so that I will not offend him. The law of love, by my own choice, because I love my weak brother and I do not want to offend him, so I will choose to prohibit myself from certain practices that I believe they are right. But why I'm doing this? Because I am watchful. I am kind to my brother. I don't want to offend my brother. That's why in verse 13, he said, resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So now, from verse 14, let's speak about the law of love. Verse 14, St. Paul said, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. St. Paul is saying, all God's creation is clean. And he said, I know and I am sure, I'm convinced, but this knowledge not based on earthly knowledge or a scientific knowledge, but it is the spiritual knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this knowledge came from the communion with Christ and the mind that is enlightened by the Holy Spirit. So this knowledge is not an earthly knowledge, it is a spiritual knowledge. That's why he said, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ convinced me that there is nothing unclean of itself. You cannot say this food unclean, we should not eat it, and this is clean, we should eat it. He said no. Many people will ask, why in the Old Testament the legal law said some kind of food is unclean and some food is clean? Why this distinction in the Old Testament? There are at least two reasons. God wants to introduce the concept of clean and unclean. This concept pertaining to sin. Sin makes the person unclean. Sin defiles the purity of the person. Sin makes the heart unclean. So in order for God to introduce this concept of clean and unclean, God applied it to certain food. This food clean and this unclean. You can offer this as sacrifice, but you cannot offer this as a sacrifice. So God using the food as an example in order to instill in their minds the concept of clean versus unclean, sin versus righteousness, impurity versus purity, wickedness versus virtue. The other reason, for health reasons. The children of Israel traveled in the wilderness of Sinai 40 years. Can you imagine if any disease spread among the children of Israel? They didn't have physicians with them. There was no medicine. So if any disease spread among these people, will destroy all of them. So God wanted to protect them. So God actually allowed them to eat certain food and to abstain from certain food, because this food may be unhealthy to them or will cause them to suffer from certain diseases and then can spread as epidemic. But all God's creation is clean. That's why St. Paul said, I am convinced that there is nothing unclean of itself. Then he said, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if I am weak in my faith and I consider certain food as unclean, so this food will be unclean to me, because I believe they are not clean, so to me it is unclean. So St. Paul is speaking here about two realities: objective reality and subjective reality. The objective reality that this food is clean because it is the creation of God. That's the objective reality. The subjective reality, if I believe this food is unclean, then to me it is unclean. That's what we call the subjective reality or my perception. Verse 15. Yet, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Now you are strong, and you say, I know that all food is clean. So you start eating certain type of food. But I am weak and I'm your brother in Christ. And when I see you eating this food, I'm stumbled. I maybe start to ask questions. How you do such things? You are a Christian. You should not do this. So you the strong now grieves my heart, hurt my feeling to see you doing these things. So St. Paul said, although you didn't do anything wrong by eating this food, but actually, because you made me stumble, then you are not walking in love. You are not walking in love. So eating the food in itself is not sin, but causing me to stumble is the sin, because you are not walking in love. So if one who is weak, uninstructed, consider anything unclean to his conscience, it is so unclean to him, and it is wrong for him to eat of it. And if your brother's feelings are hurt with your food because he thinks it is sinful to eat, it would be charitable for you to abstain from eating this food for my sake, for the sake of the weak person. That's why we said it is the law of love. It is the law of love. Verse 15, do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. St. Paul is saying, Christ died for this person. So is it too much for you to abstain from certain food for this person? Compare between what Christ did for this person and what you need to do for this person. I'm not asking you to die for him as Christ died. Well, what I'm asking you, not to offend him. So if this food offends him, don't eat it. Abstain from it in order to save your brother. In order to save your brother. Don't destroy with your knowledge. Don't destroy with your strength. Don't destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Actually, you need to use your strength and your knowledge to edify the weak, not to destroy him. Verse 16, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. What does this mean? Do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Your good, referring to your knowledge. You have a greater knowledge than the weak person. And you know that nothing is unclean. That's good.
This knowledge is good. But don't let your good, your knowledge, your strength be spoken of as evil. If by your knowledge and by your strength made your brother to fall or to sin or to stumble. So do not let your good be spoken of as evil. If you strictly insist on your right to do what the weak brother said, you say, this is my right, this is my freedom in Christ. I will eat. If he is weak, I don't care. This is my right. St. Paul said, no, your good now will be spoken of as evil. And as Christian, you should walk in love, in the law of love. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. St. Paul is saying, why are you disputing over these external things? Whether we eat this or we eat that. Whether we observe this day or observe that day. Why you are making all this dispute over external things?
The kingdom of God isn't
is not external things, is not eating and drinking. What actually we should be more occupied with is the righteousness, peace, and joy. That's why he says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You should be concerned how to be righteous in Christ, how to be justified in Christ, how to be forgiven in Christ. That's what you should be preoccupied with, concerned with, not eating this or drinking that. You should be concerned peace in Christ, how to be reconciled with God, how to be reconciled with one another, how to live in peace with others, and how to be reconciled with yourself. You should be concerned about the joy, not the fun of this earth, but the joy of the Spirit, because joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Rejoicing not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, the joy of the Spirit. How you and your brother rejoice together in Christ and in the Holy Spirit. So, that's what you should be concerned more with. Don't dispute with your brother whether we should eat this or we should not. You strong, abstain from eating it. Walk in love. Remember, Christ died for your brother. It's not too much if I ask you to walk in love and give up these things for your brother. That is the law of love. Verse 18. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. If actually you serve Christ, when you seek your own righteousness and the righteousness of others, when you seek peace with God and the peace of others, when you seek the joy of the Holy Spirit and the joy of others, when you do this, actually you are serving Christ. When you do these things, you are serving Christ. And when you are serving Christ and you are concerned about righteousness, peace, and joy, you are acceptable by God and also approved by men. God will accept you. God will bless you. And men also will approve you. Men will they will not dispute with you. They will not be in conflict with you over these things. Verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. St. Paul said, let us not dispute over food or over doubtful things, but let us actually follow the law of love. Love gives up what grieves a brother. I am willing to give up what offends my brother. Love consider what builds up, what edifies my brother. That's what love is about. That's why he said, let us pursue the things which make for peace. Instead of being in conflict over external things, no. I will give up even my right, my freedom to eat these things in order to live in peace with my brother. Let's pursue the things which make for peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. And the things by which one may edify another. Be concerned more about how you edify your brother, not how to offend him and to stumble him and to dispute with him. Verse 20. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. What's more important? The work of God, the salvation of your own brother, that's the work of God. God wants to save everybody. Which is more important? The work of God, the salvation of your brother,
or what you eat and what you drink. Let us not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. A rigid insistence on eating the meat, so offensive to some of the brethren, this may split actually the church. So if I insist on following what I believe is right, this actually may cause a division and a split in the church. So the strong should walk in the law of love, and they should give up these things in order not to destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Again, St. Paul is emphasizing that, yes, I understand, all things are pure. All type of food, all kinds of food are morally clean. But it is morally unclean to him who eats with hurt to his conscience. So, if I eat something while I believe it is wrong, it will be unclean to me. That's a subjective reality. And actually, if I'm the strong person and I eat something, but I offended my brother, then actually I am in sin too, because I offended my brother. Not because I ate this, but because I offended my brother. That is a lack of love. That's why he said, it is evil for the man who eats with offense. If I eat and I offended my brother, it will be evil. If I eat and I offended my brother, this will be considered evil. Verse 21. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. So, if eating any kind of food or drinking wine is the way of my brother's peace, this will make my brother stumble or make us be in conflict or split the church, then it is better to abstain from drinking wine, from eating meat, so that I will not make my brother stumble or I offend him or make him weak. Verse 22. Do you have faith? Have it yourself before God. So, if you are strong in your faith, and if you have good knowledge, while your weak brother doesn't have this faith and doesn't have this knowledge, let God know this. Let God take note of this, but don't display it before your brother. St. Paul is saying, God knows your faith. God knows your knowledge. God knows you are strong. So, don't display it before your brother. Keep this between you and God only. So, if you have faith, have it yourself before God. Have it yourself means, do not display it before your weak brother, lest you offend him. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Happy, you will be blessed and you will be happy. If you do not condemn yourself, what does it mean if you do not condemn yourself? If you do not do something that offend your brother, and thus you will condemn. Many people misinterpret this verse. Many people say, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So I approve this, so I will eat it, I will drink from it, and I am blessed because I don't condemn myself in what I approve. No, St. Paul doesn't mean this. St. Paul means, don't let your good be spoken of as evil. What you approve, don't use it to be a source of condemnation to you. How it will be condemnation to you if you offended your brother, if you make your brother to stumble? That's why read the two verses together. Do you have faith? Have it yourself before God. Happy is him. Happy is he who does not condemn himself, who does not bring condemnation upon himself by offending his brother, by doing what he approves. Is this clear? Blessed is he who does not bring condemnation upon himself when he offends his brother by doing what he approves. That is the meaning of the verse. Verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. And St. Paul actually is setting here a very important rule. If I have doubt about certain things, I should abstain, I should refrain from it. Because if I eat this food that I doubt it is clean, this will condemn me. I'll be condemned. I'll be condemned by my conscience. That's number one. I'll be condemned by my conscience. But St. Paul said, he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. St. Paul said he does not eat from faith. It is against his belief system. He believes that if he eats this, it is abominable to God, as if I am disobeying God. Then if I eat, how I eat something while I believe eating it is disobedience to God. So as if I choose to disobey God. And if I choose to disobey God, this will be sin. That's why he said, whatever is not from faith is sin. Because many people will question why it is considered sin. This food is clean and eating it is not sin. Why is St. Paul saying, if you doubt and you eat, it is sin? It is sin because you believe it is disobedience to God. Then you choose to eat. When you choose to eat it, means what? You choose to disobey God. So if you choose to disobey God, this is the sin. That's why whatever is not from faith is sin. So St. Paul is saying, if you doubt something, don't eat it. Don't do it. Otherwise, if you do it, you are in sin. Because as if you choose to disobey God according to your own conscience. Glory be to God forever.